The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. Ray the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you.
Trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
They don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I think Andrew Krucek was bought off. He put together a couple of new bumper intros. 75% complimentary. I can't prove it, but I will. I'll chase it down. Al Cresta, who dethroned me 3 years ago, winning the Humility Award when I came in second. But Cresta bribed the judge. There's no question in my mind. But I think Cresta told Andrew, just throw positive stuff in that intro, because he will struggle this year to repeat. Number 11, Catholic Media's Humility Award. It's going to be an uphill climb. Good to have you with me. Program is The Doctor Is In. I'm the doctor who is in. You can be in, as in cool, as in present, as in talking to Eric Dumont, our call screamer, if you call. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal. Three bits of information, easier to remember. I will be heading to the office this afternoon. However, here on the program, I'm not going to diagnose. I'm not going to do therapy. We can talk, you and I, put our heads together. Between the two of us, we might have an IQ that surpasses that 8-year-old's. The problem with 8-year-olds is that they don't operate by the rules we have to operate by. I mean, you go in, if I go into my boss's office, Tom Price, Jack Williams over at EWTN, or Al Cresta, Mike Jones over at Ave, and I walk in and I say, hey, boss, can I have a raise? And they say, no. I'm going to kick your plan on the floor, slam this door. See, we can't do that. Kids can do that. They have a much wider range of response. All I can do is pout. Maybe call my wife and get sympathy. Well, I tried that, and last time she said, I don't think you deserve a raise, Ray. I'm with them. So, up to this point, just going to work for the pittance that I'm getting paid by the word. I am getting paid by the word, so that's good. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the radio program. I've never seen it. Well, not this bad. Family members, friends, at each other's throats. Politically, it gained momentum. And then COVID just squirted kerosene all over the social fire. I cannot tell you how many people have told me, in therapy and informally, that they've not been able to visit because there's arguments, hostilities. If you don't think the way they think, you are foolish, idiotic. So how do you avoid this? Well, one of the things is you got to get good at picking up the clues at the very beginning. Example, how often when someone argues with you, and with hostility, by the way, they can't allow you to view things the way you view things, through your faith lens, through your political lens, through your pro-life lens. They can't allow that. So they attack. So how often does someone who disagrees with you ask you, I want to know how you think. How did you come to that conclusion? Why do you believe that? Now, have you gotten many of those? Or how about 2 to 3 pieces of disagreements into the interchange? You're realizing this is not in any way heading toward an understanding. As a matter of fact, the more I'm trying to explain why I think the way I think, the angrier the other person is getting. So my advice, get better at realizing that earlier. Third, get the other person to explain to you why they think what they think, why they believe what they believe, why they come to the conclusions they've come to the conclusions. Now, the temptation would be, when you hear this, to fire back some implication that they're uninformed, or it's nonsense, or they're illogical, or they're reacting with emotions, or they're over the top. That's the temptation. You want to do that. You want to make them think better as you see it. How often does that work for you? How often at the end of one of these interchanges, the hot ones anyway, have you heard, "Thank you. You really helped me clarify that. You really have, and I'm glad I know how you think about that." Well, that can happen. But if it does happen, you're dealing with somebody that's pretty open-minded and pretty fair and pretty tolerant and pretty willing to allow you to see things the way you see things, and they recognize you may not see it the way they do. I found that. You know, when I came back to the Catholic Church 20-some years ago, 26 years ago, I was so anxious to explain to people why. I was so anxious to get them to understand my motives, my reasoning, my thinking, how I got to the point where I got, to get them to understand that I used to think like they did, and then I realized that's not the way I want to think, and let me tell you why that's not the, and that was not good. It was not good. There were those who were honestly curious. They wanted to find out. What was my journey? They were good about it. That didn't mean they were going to convert, but they were honest and tolerant enough to say, I want to know how you came to the conclusions you did. And even if they disagreed, they didn't immediately dispute. There were those. They were not the majority. And so I realized over time to more quickly back out of those kinds of conversations. Had to. Didn't want to create hostility. I had a friend once that I sent him something, and I didn't mean to send it. It was an accident, and I didn't know what I was doing, and he was really upset. It was a long, long friendship. This is a friendship of 40 years. Really upset. So I apologized profusely. I was surprised, and I realized that is not any kind of conversation about that kind of topic or anything that even smells like that kind of topic anymore. Can't do it. And sadly, that's where I think a lot of you are going to find yourself. You will realize, you can talk about the mini prints in the dining room. And you could talk about how long it now takes you to get from point A to point B, especially since they put in that new on-ramp. Yeah, you can talk about that. And you can talk about why you think so-and-so is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL this year. You can do that. You can keep it at that shallow level. But you realize, sadly, that there are those that you cannot carry on a give-and-take conversation if you disagree. You can't. I've never seen anything like it. the inability of other people to allow you to think the way you think without them attacking, without them being hostile, without them name-calling, without them shunning you. Never seen anything like it. I have my speculations as to why it is, not the least of which is the incredible fanning of the flames of the media. I've never seen it. I said that about five times, haven't I? I've never seen the media just fuel division. Unbelievable, putting us at each other's throats. Never seen it. Okie dokie, you got to know how to navigate it. Don't get pulled into it. But you can call here. And one of the rules we have is if you disagree with me, I'm going to put you to the front of the lines. Of course, you know if you disagree with me, you're wrong. But hey, you want to take that chance, go ahead. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Shrinking for over 40 years. I used to be 6'9". Much longer, and I'm going to have to be sitting on the Manhattan telephone book to reach this microphone. I'm Ray Guarendi. Program The Doctor Is In. Let's go to... I'm going to immediately... You know what? I'm going to dispute Jarrett right off the bat, but I'm going to give him a chance here. Then I'm going to disagree with him. Hi, Jarrett. How are you?
Good, Dr. Ray. How are you?
You say, and here's where I'm going to disagree with you, you say that your three-year-old son has behavior problems. I say
yeah.
He doesn't. Now, how can I say that? How can I say that, right?
Say that.
You know why? Well, okay, Jarrett, why did I say that?
Well, because he's three.
Yep, you got it there, son. He's three, so he's going to do all kinds of stuff. He's going to punch people, and he's going to throw fits, and he's going to yell, and he's going to defy. He's going to do all that stuff if you let him. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're like most of the parents I see, you would say, Dr. Ray, we don't let him. We do not let him. We are strict. We're good disciplinarians. Are you going to say that?
I would like to think so. He's our third child, He's got a brother, an older brother and sister, and then a new baby brother. And I mean, he's different than all of them.
Yeah, well, you know that, Jarrett. You know that. Mm-hmm. You have enough kids, you're going to get one like that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean
my question
anything.
Is
there's nothing wrong with him,
right? He's a great kid. It's
not on drugs.
Not yet. I hope not.
Right.
But how would you go about it since he is so young? I mean, there's only so much discipline you can do that he's going to understand.
You
right?
can do a ton. You can do a ton. Do you have a dog?
Yes, two.
Did you train your dogs?
They're just kind of farm dogs.
Okay. But I mean, you don't let them pee in the house, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Right. And you trained them not to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is your son smarter than those dogs?
I would think so, yes.
That's right. Your speech therapist, and again, I'm not going to contradict someone.
Right.
But the speech therapist says, okay, he's not communicating maybe as well as an average 3-year-old, so he's getting frustrated. And then, I guess this is your speech therapist talking again, that his frustration has spilled over into preschool as he's starting to push kids around over there. That kind of the summary of what your speech person said?
Well, yes, he's come a long way through his speech. We first thought, you know, he was getting aggressive and throwing the tantrums and stuff like that because he couldn't communicate, which kind of made sense to us. And that's what the speech therapist told us. But now, I mean, he's almost been in speech therapy 6-7 months and is doing leaps and bounds, talking great and everything now. But the aggression is still there.
Sure.
And he's being able to communicate and stuff. I mean, our thing is the daycare facility is maybe not wanting to have him come back after the summer. My wife's a teacher, and we keep the kids during the summer, and may not want him to come back if his behavior doesn't change. And so I told my wife, I'm calling Dr. Ray.
let me respond a couple ways. Jarrett, I'm going to give you my overall impression. Preschool people are dominated by child development ideas. Child development ideas, as a group, do not really have firm discipline. So when your little son does something in class, I would suspect they don't do much about it. Oh, they probably talk to him, or maybe they remove him from a setting where he was. They don't do much about it. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Thank you. So, a couple of things. One, I'm not big into this old, he's frustrated because he can't communicate and all he's got is emotions to show how upset he is. I'm not big on that because if you gave your 3-year-old son everything he wanted, do not deny him. If he wants a third cookie, give it to him. If he wants to stay up, let him stay up. Here's my question, Jarrett. Would you see all this frustration?
No,
you wouldn't see any of it. So what's happening here is that he's 3 and he's a pushier kid than your other kids. Okay, I got that. Big deal. Which means when he gets frustrated, he melts down, he defies, he throws a fit, whatever he does. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys are going to have to discipline him. It's that simple. Question. If you say to your little guy, go to the corner, please, Woody?
That's what we've been doing, is trying to do like a timeout thing first and go to the corner. He will. I mean, I've got to kind of get loud with him and tell him to get over in the corner and sit down.
Does he stay?
But he'll stay there. He'll stay there, you know, as long as a 3-year-old will, you know, 30
seconds. Whoa, he doesn't decide.
Like
Jarrett, he doesn't decide. You do.
Oh, no, right. But I got to go get him and take him back to the corner. They're like, no, you're not done yet.
Here's what's happening. If you were coming into counseling, we would go into much more detail than this. Here's what's happening.
Right.
He's not accepting the corner. Oh, he'll go there, but then when he decides to leave, he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening is he's learning, I don't have to listen or accept this discipline. And it's very natural, as far as I could see, that he would do this at school. Why wouldn't he?
Right.
Especially if his teacher really doesn't have much in the way of consequences, and they typically don't.
Yeah, maybe they'll take a... their discipline's not like ours right. at home. But
right.
I mean...
So here's what I would suggest. First of all, I got a book called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It's got a million suggestions right. in it. It's going to put you in charge. It's on my website, bookstore. If you don't want to go do that, then what you do is you discipline your son in the corner. When he leaves, you don't say a word. Everything he asks for after that is no. And you tell him, you have to go to the corner before you get that. You have to go to the corner before you get a cookie. You have to go to the corner before you can go outside. You have to go to the corner before you get your stuffed animal. He's got to learn that when you say, go to the corner, please, he goes. And he stays. And this is not a daddy put him back 26 times. Once you get that, he will behave better at school. What I would do next year, if you're afraid they're going to kick him out, I would say, I want to know what kind of day he gives you. Please give us 3 weeks. Rate his day. We will deal with his conduct when he gets home. Mm-hmm. We'll handle it. We'll take away all the privileges. We'll send him to bed early. We'll do all kinds of things that he'll find out that you can't act like that way for your teacher. And if that doesn't make it better in 3 weeks, I would be shocked. Absolutely shocked.
Okay.
Now, here's the problem you're going to have.
Great.
Here's the problem you're going to have. I have had preschool teachers say, I don't feel comfortable telling on him. We have a relationship, and I just feel like ooh. And I've had that happen. And that's really kind of sad. It's really kind of misguided because you have a lot more leverage than they do. And here's the sad part of it. They're going to kick him out. So
right.
it's like, wait a minute, you're going to get rid of the kid. At least try this. At least tell me what he's been doing so I can handle it at home, and then maybe he can stay. All right, Jarrett, good luck to you, man. I'll talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate
Bye
it.
Bye now. All right. Oh, Ann from Lincoln. You know it, Ann. You just experienced a silent shunning, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
And it just floored me, and I had no warning, no nothing. I thought everything was fine. And when my husband read the letter that she sent me, he said, oh, you just got woked. And I said, because we don't discuss politics. We don't discuss the hot issues. We just go there. I just go there and have a pleasant time. But obviously, she knows that I'm conservative. She, I have a medical condition that my doctor does not feel it's smart for me to get the shot, nor do I want to. I don't agree with it. And so, you know, she asked me about it, and I said, no, I don't plan to, but... I don't think that's anybody's business, but me and my doctor, you know, that's between us.
Isn't it amazing how people now think they can just intrude upon your most private medical decisions? Mm-hmm, I know. Now, up to this point, let's say the last year after the lockdown, back when you could go in and get your nails done as long as you wore a mask and she wore a mask, did she see you and did she do your nails?
Yes.
So... here's my question. And again, this is not going to mean anything. It just shows the illogic of it all. While COVID was, quote unquote, at its peak, she would accept you coming in. No problem.
Right.
Now that the numbers have declined dramatically and that about a third of the adult population in the U.S. has been taking the shot, she decides if you don't, then you're not coming here. Now, nothing's changed. You're still wearing the mask. She's still wearing the mask. But she just decided to draw a line in the sand because you're not behaving exactly as she thinks you should behave. My dear, find another nails person. I think that's your best move. Go to somebody that's much more tolerant, friendly, pleasant, and civil. God bless you. I don't know how to do nails. I do my nails with a big sixpenny nail.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody is sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Does that make any sense whatsoever? For the last year, our caller has been going to get her nails done by a lady. There was no shot, and the lady was perfectly content. But then she's decided, now we've raised the bar. Since there was no shot prior to then, I will take your business. However, now that there is, I expect you to do this. Well, she's allowed to decide what she wants. It's her business, of course. But it does bespeak of something. And I don't think I would be going too far by saying that that's not just her condition for her business. My guess it would be her condition for relationships, perhaps family, perhaps events, perhaps church. Well, sure. Somebody's coming in to get their nails done. You're both wearing masks, which you've been doing the last year. And all of a sudden, that's not good enough. Why? Well, because you didn't take another step that you should have taken. What are we becoming? Speaking of this, Rivers from Atlanta, our big boomer station down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Rivers. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right. How old are you?
I'm 13.
13. All right, young lady. Somebody's trying to force their worldview and opinion on you?
In a way.
Tell me about it.
Sometimes when I have conversations with my friends, sometimes it feels like they, just like when they want it their way and they don't agree with my opinion and they want me to agree with theirs, though.
And you get the sense that their view is, if you don't agree with me about this, then you don't accept me.
In a way, sometimes a certain friend is like, I'll be talking to my brother and I'll be like, oh, come on, Walker, or just share with me, Walker. And they're like, stop, you don't have to. And I'm just having like a normal sibling quarrel and just being like, with like being a normal sibling to sibling conversation, and they're trying to control what I do with my sibling.
My son is 24, Rivers, and one of the things he's running into at age 24 is the same thing you're running into at age 13, which is the opinions and the views of young people in their teens and in their 20s and even in their 30s have been radically, dramatically shaped by social media and by the peer pressure to think a certain way. So someone like yourself, you know, at my age, I have other people who think like me because I'm this age. And if you look at the opinions of people my age, there are more of us who think along a certain lines. At your age, at age 13, if you have a morally conservative view, if you have something that you've thought through and your parents have taught you and you think it makes a lot of good sense and you embrace it, it's harder to find kids your age who think like you. They're out there, but there's not as many of them. And my son is running into the same thing. He's a very thoughtful, logical kid, but he's shocked at how little so many in his peer group have thought through the major issues, moral issues, those kinds of things. What I would do, Rivers, if I were you, is I'd kind of size up who is willing to allow me to think the way that I think and who isn't. And then you have to decide if it's worth having them as a friend. You're not being unchristian if you don't have everybody as a friend. Who says that? Some people you relate there better than others and some you don't. And if you find out that some of the people you thought were friendly toward you are only so if you agree with them or only so if you think a certain way as you talk to your brother, you're going to find out it's going to be tough to stay friends with them. Are there kids around you who think like you do?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I consider myself, I have like a small group of friends my age, and then I like to hang around people who are a few years older than me or take care and help kids who are younger than me rather than have a bunch of friends my age. I don't connect to the kids my age as well because, as you said, they're so immersed in social media. So I find those few friends who don't care about social media like me, and I stick to them. And then I find older kids and teenagers who are curious and want to be with, and like, well, wouldn't mind hanging out with kids that are a little younger than them and children that are younger who I can help take care of and stuff like that.
Rivers, you are very articulate for a 13-year-old, which leads me to believe that your education, just again, I don't, this is going to sound funny, and I don't mean it to imply anything. Are you homeschooled?
No, but I go to Atlanta Girls School.
Okay, so it is a private religious school that is very traditional?
Not really. It's not a religious school, but it's girls, and it's all about empowering girls to do what they do and lead lives of purpose and take control of their own lives and not let the stereotypes of the world control them.
Okay. So, because you don't sound like a 13-year-old in the group. So I thought there was something different in your education. You're right. I think if I were in your shoes, first of all, my feet would hurt because probably your shoes are too tight for me. However, I would gravitate toward those people that you can have intellectual conversations with, you can talk about things with, and even if they disagree with you and don't understand why you think the way you do, they're at least tolerant enough to try to understand why you think the way you do. And if not, you may find that your circle of friends is going to be narrow, but it's going to be very solid. The old saying is, if you have two really, really good friends in your life, you've got a great blessing. Rivers, thanks for the call. All righty, dear, thank you. And tell your mom I said hi, because she's right there. Hi, Mom.
Yes, she is. Hi, Mom.
Thank you so much, Dr. Ray.
Hey, Mom.
Right,
thanks.
Have a good day, sir.
I'll see you now. She called me sir. She called me. You know what? She called me sir. Now, I'm hoping that's out of respect because I'm starting to get a sense that that's out of age. I noticed that. And I said that once when I was working out. And I said, are you calling me sir because of respect or age? And he goes, both. Oh, young pup. 877-573-7825. Remember the rule. You can call anytime during the program. We mix it up. We mix the calls throughout in the hopper and decide all the various ways to head to a call and why. And you can never know. You know, you never know if you call in with a call and it was something similar to yesterday because you weren't listening.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I must tell you that from what I observe from very young people, all of these blasphemers, all of these mockers are in for a tough time. Because the devil bites his own tail. And I find among young people a growing reverence and longing for God. I find a decline in the cynicism and skepticism around, because it had to destroy itself. No one can live on being an enemy of God. It's too crazy. It's too absurd. It's too dark. It's too bleak. God is beautiful. God is holy. Why in the world mock God?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
I've been giving myself rewards, you know. If I eat healthy today, then I can have one piece of candy as a reward. If I eat unhealthy, I can have the whole bag. Dr. Ray Guarini, thanks for joining me here. Doctor is in co-production, EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. Some 400-plus stations, adding all the time. Sirius Satellite, Channel 130, all kinds of ways to pick it up. Podcasts, live streaming, internet sites where all the networks and the independent affiliates let you click on. And produced down there where the calls are taken, Ave Maria Radio Communications with Eric Dumont, call screamer. And Andrew Kruczek, producer man. Martha from Florida has an adult child. And Martha says, I can see the train coming down the track. Hi, Martha.
Hello.
And what do you see?
Well, The wife is my daughter, her husband is away a couple of days, first responder. He gets home, she hands him the baby, and she leaves. No food. House is a pigsty. And he doesn't complain. But when they are home together, he goes down to the basement and plays videos, supposedly. Any suggestion, if anything?
Mm-hmm. I got one. Ready? Let's see. One, two, three. Yeah. I got it. It's a four-word sentence. Keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, one, do you know how frustrated they are? Or no, they've just sort of settled into this kind of existence, and they don't see much wrong with it.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I see a little pouting occasionally on his part, but for the most part, he appears to be carrying the load.
So you're a little more worried about what your daughter is bringing to this marriage.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, if and when your daughter complains to you about him, which may happen, which that the reason I say that is because oftentimes it is the person who gives the least to the marriage who complains the most about the other person.
Okay.
So if that happens, make sure that you've got your opening. You can say some things.
Right.
And focus on what she can do to make the marriage better. And that's dangerous because she wants you to sit and listen to how bad he is and to agree with her. And if you don't, just out of curiosity, Martha, when you were raising this daughter through her teen years, maybe her early 20s, did you see some things that you just thought, come on, grow up? Would you grow up?
I don't know that I would term it immaturity, perhaps a little self-focused.
Okay. And you see some of that just...
She does not complain. She does not complain about her husband.
Oh,
no.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good.
Thank you.
You know, part of it may be to this. You know what an ideal marriage would look like. In your eyes, this is how you see a good, intimate marriage, where both partners are better people because they're married to each other. You know that, right? Maybe you've had a marriage like that?
I hope so.
Okay. So, as you watch this and you see these young people falling short of this, from both directions maybe, you say to yourself, wow, you know, they could have so much more. They could just have such a nicer, better relationship. And you said, I don't know if they see it that way. Right?
I mean, a very good point.
They just, who knows? Because I know I look at relationships and I think to myself, wow, there could be so much more for them. And as they see it, it's, no, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. What's the problem here? So I don't know if that's your daughter's situation, but you'll find out if she does come and complain to you, especially when you said she doesn't complain. So if she does complain, then you're going to know it's getting pretty rocky. Maybe you could help her look at herself. But be careful, though. People don't like to look at themselves. Be very careful.
Thank you, Doctor. You've been a tremendous help in such a brief time, and not only for me, but thank you for helping people for so long.
Oh, come on, Martha. I get paid for it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, you know. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the nice words. I'll talk to you. Bye. Yeah, see, Andrew, you never put that one in my bumper. No, 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 no. I know there were too many compliments, Andrew. We're going to have to throw in some clinkers in there. Way, way too many. You're wonderful. Come on. You know what the thing about if somebody thinks you're really wonderful? It's because they agree with you. Much of the time, anyway. So which really means they think they're wonderful. Because I have never had anybody tell me I'm wonderful and at the same time say, I only agree with about 12% of what you say. But I think you're wonderful. That has never happened. Matter of fact, I would like to know the percentage that they have to disagree with before I drop out of being wonderful. I'm going to say if they disagree with maybe 7%. I could be shakily wonderful. All right, I'm going to come back. Still got some calls up there that folks want to talk. Thank you.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Lincoln's second inaugural is an effort to ensure that the North and South will once more be able to see each other as brothers rather than enemies. And like Lincoln's day, our own day is divided by ugly sentiments and uglier issues. And while we haven't come to a civil war, we really do have civil conflict. And while we might aspire to be a united States of America, we are a divided States of America. There's nothing wrong with longing for a recovery of the middle. But when we say that, we can't be saying we want to end the discussion. The whole point of recovering the middle is so that we stop yelling and start real discussion. The middle is the common ground, where we find common language, where we find common values, so that we can intelligently, patiently, and respectfully hammer out our differences and also determine where differences cannot be compromised.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
That's manly music. Nice to have you with me. Dr. Ray Grandy program. Dr. Zen. Mary from Cleveland, Ohio, brings up a good point, but I did assume that that is usually the first route they go when a kid heads into speech therapy, but Mary can share it. Hi, Mary.
Hi there, Dr. Ray. No, it isn't the first route that they go. They may be better now, but I have a daughter who's in her 30s who was not speaking at the age of 2 and 3. And we went the speech therapy route. And I just happened to have her in, my older daughter had hearing problems and needed tubes in her ears. And I just felt like maybe, I don't know whether that gentleman's had him checked by an ENT. Pediatricians sometimes miss it. I used to work in a pediatric office, so I know that. But maybe that'll help, too.
It's a good suggestion.
Advice.
Mary, it's a good suggestion. I think you're right. I think much more typically now, especially when you have a kid not speaking at all right? That is a sign of, let's check ears. First thing we're going to do is check ears. Why is this kid not speaking? Especially like your daughter, who probably comprehended most of what you were telling her, right? In a normal, there you go. So when you got that comprehension, but no actual speech, especially articulated speech, that's first thing you look at is ears.
Right.
Well, good girl. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You are not.
I hope that helps.
You're not as dumb as I look.
I just have a few years on you.
Nah, you don't.
Probably a lot of years.
I'll bet you don't, but I don't want to give away any secrets.
Yeah, I'm going to be a great grandma in September. Yep.
Well, maybe you got married in kindergarten. I don't know, you know?
No, I didn't get married in kindergarten either. All right. Thanks a lot, Dr.
Okay,
Ray.
Okay, Mary. I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Let's go to Gabby. Gabby from San Diego. And by the way, Gabby, I got to tell you, is that short for Gabriella?
Yes, it is.
I use the word Gabby in a lot of my parenting books because I usually say
children.
Yes, Gabby is she drowns you in words, or Gabby is constantly arguing with you, or yes, Gabby won't be quiet. Yep,
I've been asked all my life if I'm Gabby, and I'm the opposite. I'm not Gabby. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm doing fine, and you have now you're doing what a lot of parents get nervous about, which is when will I be able to go out in public with this child?
Right.
I sure would like to go to a restaurant. I sure would like to, but I don't know. There's just too much unpredictability here.
I would like to see some friends and not have my child running around like crazy.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. Everywhere you go, there's corners, are there not?
Right.
Everywhere you go, there's a place to sit, a couch, a chair, anything like that. Now, that's not going to make your daughter behave right away quick. As a matter of fact, what it's going to do is it's probably going to lead to a fit. But if you know this, if you discipline it out in public where you can, you know, she's acting up at the restaurant table, you take her into the bathroom and stand her in the corner, or you take her outside and sit her in her car seat and say, we're not going back in until I decide. Now, that's going to inconvenience you, say, the next 50 times you have to do it. But what it will do is it'll set the conditions, and 2 months from now, 3 months from now, you'll be able to go out. At one point we had six kids under six. And my wife and I, we just did not want to curtail our excursions into public. We would not. So we dealt with it. We dealt with it. Even the three-year-olds, by the time we got home, they went to the corner. We told them. We said, when we were there, you got down and you didn't listen. You go to the corner, please. Or you go lay on your bed, please. Or you put your head down at the dining room table. Whatever it was we did. Or tonight you don't have your stuffed animal. Whatever it was. Because we knew your little two-year-old's going to act up in public. There's nothing you're going to do about it. But you're going to respond to it. And in responding to it, you're going to teach her. If you wait, if you say to yourself, well, I'm going to just wait till she's old enough to get this and start showing some self-control, you're playing some roulette here. Because I know an awful lot of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds that are very obnoxious in public. And because their parents just kind of was hoping and waiting that they were going to act right. Share with you a quick story. And I know that Ann from Melbourne, please call back. You'll be first up. When we were adopting, I forget, our 7th child, 8th child, I don't remember. We went to the lawyer's office. And it was, this thing was decked out. I mean, this office was a lot nicer than all of my house. And we had 6 or 7 little kids. I walked in, should have seen the look of terror on this receptionist's face. She was calculating. Not only would we make the place smell, probably take weeks for it to get the smell out of there, but we'd probably depreciate it by 5 or 10 grand just in the hour we were there. So I walked in and I said, okay, guys, have seats, please. And they all scattered and sat down. She said, I'm impressed. And I said, don't be, because you didn't see the first 100 times. Hear what I'm saying, Gabby? You still there? Oh, Gabby's gone. Gabby, you there? We lost Gabby. Okay, so what I meant was, yeah, the first 100 times we had to do something about it when we got home. Or we had to do something about it in the car when we drove through to get ice cream and those two children didn't get ice cream. So we did something about it. If we decided you're old enough to behave somewhat appropriately, which is usually in that 2 to 2.5 range, sometimes 1.5. I remember the first time I put my son on the steps, he was 15 months old. And my wife, she said, "Ray," and I said, "Well, what, honey? He did this," and then she said, "I wanted to be the first one to sit him on the steps." Yeah, you know, that was like her discipline passage as a mother. She was at home with him. She was a stay-at-home mom. And I usurped her discipline authority. Good to have you with me. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, producer man, Eric Dumont, screamer man, and all of you for keeping me company. Walk with God. You gotta pray for those who don't, that they see where the walk should be.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.